a little bit embarrassing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm running out of shirts here in the bunker, so I'm wearing my sports jacket with no shirt underneath it. So I'm trying to keep the camera strategically focused so as not to reveal too much of what's happening here in the bunker. Hi, everybody. You know, if you think the Bible is all about eternity, then you're going to get so screwed up in the Bible. This is a shocking thing when I tell people this. The Bible is not about eternity. It has very little, I'll even say nothing to do with eternity, because the mind can't wrap around eternity. What's eternity? Can you describe for me something that has no beginning and no end? Go ahead, try it. You're banging your head against the wall, aren't you? That's because you can't do it. Because it has not been put in the mind of humanity to grasp something without a beginning and without an end. Thus, in his mercy, God grants us to deal with us in the space of time. And again, he has a name associated with time. It's the name Jehovah. He has a name associated with space, and it's the name Elohim. We're going to get into these. But for now, know that God works in time periods. I ask people this at conferences when I broach this topic. I said, with a show of hands, tell me if you think eternity is a long time. And most of the time, everybody raises their hand. Yeah, eternity is a long time. I said, wrong. You're totally wrong. Quiet. It's not a long time. Eternity has nothing to do with time. Then they're like befuddled because they can't. Eternity has nothing to do with it. It's not a long time. Eternity is not a long time. Eternity has nothing to do with time. It's antithetical to time. So God is working in these time periods called eons, and he has a purpose of the eons. And what is that? Ephesians 2:2, with a purpose of the eons. I got to find that. Let me see if I can find that. Ephesians 2:2. It's so comforting. No, it's Ephesians 3:11. Ephesians 2:2 is another verse that I'm going to give you. Very important verse. I'm looking at my scriptures now very quickly for Ephesians 3:11. God has a purpose, and Revelation is just a way station to that purpose. In accord with the purpose of the eons, which he makes in Christ Jesus. By the way, if Hebrews 1:2 goes along with Ephesians 3:11. Are you writing this down? Because this is important. God has a purpose of the eons through whom Christ makes the eons. Let me read that. Okay, I'm trying to slow down here. I'm getting too excited about this. God is making known now to the authorities among the celestials through the ecclesia, that's you and me, the multifarious wisdom of God in accord with the purpose of the eons. Which he makes, the eons. The eons, which he makes in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 1:2 corroborates this, that the eons were made through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made the eons. The eons are a framework of time through which God works a purpose. The King James Version here is insane. In Ephesians 3:11. The King James says his eternal purpose. Help me, Audrey. This eternal purpose? What the hell is an eternal purpose? If his purpose is eternal, then he keeps purposing and purposing and purposing. He never comes to a conclusion. But his purpose is not eternal. It's aeonian. It has to do with eons. So look at Ephesians 3:11, then look at Hebrews 1:2. Christ makes the eons. Eons are a framework that now God can do things that make sense. He can progressively reveal things that have beginnings and ends. Sin has a beginning and sin has an end. Judgment has a beginning and judgment has an end. Estrangement from God has a beginning, the Garden of Eden, and it has an end for all humanity, the consummation of the eon, spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15:26. Which reminds me, I told you yesterday that Revelation is not the end. Indeed. because Paul goes farther than the book of Revelations in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So here I am, I'm making this big deal out of the Revelation series. Martin Sender's talking about Revelation, the great revelation. And yet Revelation is a way station. It's a stop, a little whistle stop on the way to what God's doing. If you want to get the whole picture, Paul, our apostle, goes farther than John does on the island of Patmos in the book of Revelation, because in the book of Revelation, death is still in operation, there's still rule and reign, and if you still have kings on the new earth, and you do, Israel are kings on the new earth, then you, by definition, still have subjection, you still have authority, you still have power. And yet, I read in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus is eventually going to give up all power and authority and deliver the kingdom to his God and Father so that God can be all in all. The fact that there is still rule going on in the unveiling of Jesus Christ tells me that it's not perfect yet. Even in the fifth eon, which is described by John in Revelation 20, 21, 22, he finally gets through the curtain, busts through the veil of the kingdom, gets through the great white throne judgment, and looks to the coming of a new heaven and a new earth. Peter told us in his second letter, that the earth was stored with fire, and it's eventually going to blow up, and there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. That doesn't happen until the 1,000 years we're now looking forward to is in the history books. Wow. Can you believe that? Someday, the 1,000 years that we're looking forward to is going to end up in the history books. And here's another thing. Your snatching away into the heavens is one day going to be in the history book. We are one day going to be referring to this great event that we can't stop looking forward to in the past tense. I know that's shocking to you. We're simply not used to thinking that way. But I encourage us to think that way because that's the right way to think. You have to have a mind that's going through these things. You have to have a mind going through these things. So many people today are camping on the trouble, on the conspiracy, on the New World Order, on the government. And yeah, all these things are happening, but we have to have a mind that goes through these things, okay? Now, my mood of last week, what was that all about, honestly? Was I failing to look through it? Let me think about this. Because I'm a champion of looking through this stuff. I'm a champion of going to your parents' graves. Well, first of all, I'm a champion of not going to your parents' graves. But if you go to your parents' graves, you need to look through the tombstones or through that stinking rotten shelf in the mausoleum to the resurrection. You need to look through that stuff. You need to look through the coming trial into the end. And I'm wondering why I couldn't do that last week. Why couldn't I do that last week? Wait a minute. This is kind of troubling me. I got... Why? Something was happening last week. I thought I had my finger on it, but now I'm wondering. I could not look through. It's like Satan was putting a big hand in front of me to keep me from thinking the right things. Because with this gospel of grace, it's all about the mind. We're to come to a realization of the truth. And that's where the battles take place, in the mind. Paul uses the word realize more than any other writer in Scripture because Paul deals with the mind. Paul deals with the mind because he is engaging us with stuff that is so awesome and so cool, so spiritual, so air-conditioned, so floaty, so out there, so comforting, so peaceful, so cotton candy, heart-poundingly wonderful that everything you see defies it. Everything you look at, all the moods you have when you get out of bed, all the crap that gets into your head because of the weather or television or movies, whatever, he defies us to see through that. And Satan, on the other hand, wants to capture our minds. And Satan does this thing called a song and dance. That's what I call it. The scripture calls it every seduction. Satan uses every seduction, and the word translated seduction in the Greek is every action. Satan is always moving, and he does this a lot of times through television. That's why I don't watch television. He uses those phosphors, the light. He's the He's a manipulator of light, and he uses this to alter your mood to make you think of stuff. You know, I used to be on this show with a guy named Frank Whalen. God bless this guy. He ran an FM station in he ran an FM station in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And this guy, he was big into the conspiracies, New World Order, all that stuff. And every month or so, he had me on the show, and he told his listeners, I'm having Zender today because Zender is going to give us a reality check. Zender is going to grab us by the shoulders, shake us, slap us in the face, and make us snap out of this malaise, this depression that we're all in because of what is coming upon the earth. And I would do just that. And I would talk about this plan of the eons. I would talk about the big picture. I would talk about man's day, which we're in now, the Lord's day, which is impending, and God's day, which will occur upon the new earth, namely in the fifth eon. And everybody listening would call in and they would say, man, that's like a fresh breeze coming through. It's like they're all sitting in hell. And the flames are creeping up their faces, and they're sweating, and like, whew, this cool wind comes that says, get the hell out of your present mindset and realize truths. Look in the mirror and see through the mirror. Look at the tombstones of your loved ones and see through the tombstones. Here's the key to my mood last week. Look through your mood and realize that it didn't come to stay, it came to pass. Screw it. So you have a bad mood. It's going to end, right? Mine ended. I'm better this week. But tomorrow I might go back down into the thing. But this is where the realization comes in, and the knowledge that what's happening to you is not some strange thing, as though it's never happened before. Nothing has overtaken you except what is human. That verse has comforted me over and over again. Nothing has overtaken you except what is human. We are combating those things with revelation. Not with hopes, not with dreams, not with the wishful thinking of teary-eyed grandmothers. No, ladies and gentlemen, friends, we are confronting things that are verifiable, that are true, and we're going to focus on these things as the days grow dark.